present Kenneth Williams, Peter Jones, Derek Nimmo, and Sheila Hancock in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Hello and welcome to Just a Minute. They're all going to try and speak as usual, if they can, for 60 seconds on the subject that I will give them, and they will also try and do it without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject on the card. And we begin the contest this week with Peter Jones, and the subject, Peter, is bugling. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
We hear a bugle call from the barracks near our house at 6 o'clock every morning and at the same time in the evenings. I don't know what company it is.
Kenneth Williams has challenged.
Repetition of in the.
What a mean little challenge so early in the show.
That's right. It is mean, isn't it?
And I remember a few weeks ago you were really blowing your top about someone challenging for
indies. Yes, you're not like an elephant in that sense.
And you always say, let each person get underway with this subject before a challenge, so I don't think I'm going to allow it and say that Peter can keep bugling starting now.
Those wonderful sisters, Patty, Laverne, Maxine, used to sing about the bugle boy, I remember, when I was comparatively young.
Kenneth, William challenge?
Hesitation.
Yes, I agree with that one, Kenneth, and you have a point there for a correct challenge, and you take over the subject of bugling, and 40 seconds are left, starting now.
Bugling is a great art, and the secret of successful bugling lies... Who challenged?
Sheena Hancock.
But I think it's absolutely disgraceful. I come here, a noted luminary, and I'm treated. It is ludicrous.
He's yes, having the gym jam.
You are actually known, the BBC, as the ludicrous luminary.
You're giving this girl.
So, Sheila, you have a correct challenge for hesitation. You have a point and the subject, and 32 seconds are left. Bugling starting now.
Bugling is something that gives me great pleasure. I think on the Remembrance Day services in little villages, occasionally you'll have a bugle call doing the last post, and there is nothing more evocative and moving than that. Also, Boy Scouts, when they first learn this instrument, can be a very touching sight. Their first attempt at music.
Derek Nimmer challenge.
Repetition of first.
That's right, Derek. And 8 seconds are left.
I don't think Boy Scouts blow the bugle anyway.
They do try. 8 seconds, bugling, Derek, starting now.
Bugling is a very ancient art. It goes right back to Roman times, because the very first bugles were made from ram's horns, and that is why...
When in Messiter blows his whistle, it tells us that 60 seconds is up, and whoever is speaking in that moment gains an extra point, and it was on that occasion Derek Nimmo, who has the lead at the end of that round. And Derek, would you begin the next round? The subject, fiddlesticks. Can you tell us something about that in 60 seconds, starting now?
Well, actually, of course, the word fiddlesticks has a frightfully rude derivation, because it rarely meant the male member. And that is why Shakespeare, in one of his lines, which we all remember so hugely well, talks about a man riding on his fiddlesticks. And that, I think, is quite disgusting, because it's like those spherical objects which we mention sometimes when we meet rubbish. And that's why fiddlestick means something equally the same. And I find it awfully difficult to talk about such a disgusting, disgraceful subject as fiddlesticks.
Peter Jones has challenged.
Repetition of disgusting.
Yes, it was, wasn't it? And you are correct, Peter, and you have 34 seconds on fiddlesticks, starting now.
Well, I can only assume there's something to do with playing the fiddle, those things that you attach, you know, horsehair.
Kenneth Williams.
I thought hesitation.
And you thought correctly, and there are 27 seconds on fiddlesticks, starting now.
Then, like all other words which become corrupted over the years and we lose sight of the original intention of the coiner, I believe, is the correct word for the etymological source.
Sheila Hancock challenge.
Do you repeat word?
You don't know what your challenge is, dearie. You shouldn't make it at all.
Well, I just thought I'd make my presence felt.
Yes, with the usual presumption
I
of your
know.
Sex, you see. It's a presumption.
You shouldn't have women
no,
on this show.
No, they shouldn't have women on this show. It's a disgrace.
OK, Jenny, well, if you keep the subject, and there are 15 seconds left on Fiddlesticks starting now.
Fiddlesticks, as of course Mr. Jones has said earlier on in this...
Peter Hancock Chum.
Well, he's about to repeat it. I mean, if Peter's already said it, why should he repeat it?
Because he can repeat it as long as Peter doesn't repeat what he said in the round.
Oh, well, in that case, you could just say exactly what the person before you said.
You can.
You must change the rules. I mean, it would make for a very boring game if I just did exactly what the person before did.
Well, I
It's often boring the first time, madame.
I just want to give Kenneth another point. Go on.
Yeah. So, Kenneth, to give you another point, Fiddlesticks, 10 seconds, starting now.
These were small pieces of wood placed between...
Oh, dear. Sheila Hancock.
Deviation, hesitation, and everything else.
Well, I'll give it to you on one of them, and you have 8 seconds on Fiddlesticks, starting now.
I wish there was something that stuck fiddles, because my daughter's just broken hers, and it's going to cost a fortune to replace it. You would not believe...
So, Sheila Hancock was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point, and she's now in second place, but you'll be delighted to hear that Kenneth Williams is in the lead at the end of that round.
No.
So, all that fiddle-sticking has taken him into a commanding lead of one. Kenneth, it's your turn to begin, and the subject is Burns. Will you tell us something about that subject in 60 seconds, starting now?
Well, he was a very great poet, born near Ayr, as a matter of fact, in a very ordinary sort of schooling. No one would have dreamed at that period that he was going to flower into this great native genius of...
Sheila Hancock Chum.
Repetition of great.
Yes, I'm afraid there was, Kenneth. Sheila, you've got in well with 47 seconds to go on Burns, starting now.
It's very interesting. I always thought that for a burn, you had to put on something greasy. And I think a lot of people believe this. In fact, of course, it is the absolute opposite.
Kenneth Williams' challenge.
Repetition, two things.
Yes.
I have to think, and a lot of people think.
Yes, you're right, Kenneth. I had to think for a moment.
Oh, dear,
to think if
keep
you
on jogging your memory, don't you? Have you ever got the job as chairman? I don't, honestly.
I think they were pretty desperate at the time.
Yeah, they
I have to think about...
put that to the audience?
No, I don't think I'll risk it. Kenneth, there are 37 seconds on Burns, starting now.
He wrote, "Ah, woodsome power, the gifty geas, to see ourselves as others see us." What wisdom in those lines! I have that capacity myself because I have what you call self-awareness, the second sight, the sixth sense, if you will, of being able to be objective about the persona you yourself embody.
Sheila Hancock Challenge.
Deviation, is this truly about Burns? I think he's talking about his own
I ability. Think he's talking about Kenneth Williams now, not about Burns.
Yes.
You told me once he brought himself into it, he couldn't get off the subject, could he? So, for the sake of our listeners, Kenneth Williams has now put his arm round Sheila Hancock.
Oh, dear, I've never sat next to him on this programme. It's very disconcerting.
I know.
No wonder Clement's so
odd. He's now going to try and inhibit you all night. Well, he's now going to try and nobble her or unsettle Sheila. She talks on the subject of Burns with 14 seconds to go, starting now.
In the interests of public safety, I will continue what I was saying, that in fact, of course, what you do is to put the burn under cold water to bring the temperature down, I suppose, and then call an ambulance or help as quickly as you can.
However, please don't take medical advice in just a minute. If you're unsure, do consult your doctor.
On the contrary, that was very sound advice.
Is that right?
Very sound. She endorsed exactly what I was told by a specialist at Bart's Hospital, one of the most brilliant men who's concerned about that kind of thing. And she endorsed it, and she couldn't have put it more eloquently. In fact, I couldn't have done it better myself. That's saying something.
That is.
Sheila Hancock was speaking as the whistle went, and she had that extra point, therefore, and she's now taken the lead ahead of Kenneth Williams. And Sheila, it's your turn to begin, and the subject is winning, and you're in a winning position at the moment. So will you talk on the subject just a minute, starting now?
I have a deep instinct to want to win. I think it was ingrained in me by my father, who, when I used to come home from school and say I was second in an exam, would always say, "Who was first?" And I then decided that that was the thing you should be. But I now believe that that is a stupid way to face life. My daughter, whom I brought up quite differently, seems to me to be a much nicer person because she hasn't got this striving ambition to be top all the time and has much more respect rather than envy for the people who beat her. However, on this game, I do sometimes feel I want to win because the boys are so rude to the guests, and sometimes they are so arrogant and frightening, and they use all sorts of ploys to put you off. So therefore, it is a feather in your cap if you can actually keep talking for five.
Peter Jones is challenged.
Just putting another feather in her cap. Just, I thought I'd give another point, you know.
But the audience... I realise what you were doing. An incorrect challenge, so Sheila gets another point to help her winning position. And
How long have I got to go?
You've got 2 seconds, having taken some charity, on the subject of winning, starting now.
I have winning ways when I...
So Sheila Hancock took the subject of winning and most eloquently, I thought, kept going for 58 seconds. She was interrupted, so she got another point, and she's increased her lead into a more winning position than before. Derek Nimmo, your turn to begin, and the subject is how to encourage salmonella. 60 seconds starting now.
Hang on, I'm going to write it down.
Hesitation, well
no,
done.
Well, I mean, salmonella, right, OK.
The subject, Derek, is...
I suppose in case you forget the subject while you're talking about it.
Yeah.
You write it down. Is that... probably I ought to do that.
Derek Nimmo has now written the subject down. It is how to encourage salmonella, and he starts now.
To leave lots of bits of meat outside, and they can go all mildewy, mutty, disgusting, cover them with bugs and rubbish, shove them in bins, and then stuff them into Kenneth Williams' mouth, and he'll choke and groan, and with any luck at all, he'll develop salmonella, and we'll rid him from this earth once and for all, and we'll never have him again playing this game of just a minute.
Sheila Hancock has challenged you. Yes, Sheila.
Well, I think it's singularly nasty and devious to talk about Kenneth like that.
Thanks.
However, apart from that, I don't think you develop salmonella yourself. That's not what you get. You get food poisoning as a result of salmonella, don't you? Isn't salmonella the squiggly things that grow on the food?
Well done,
that
Sheila.
Give you the food.
Marvellous. Well, yes, congratulations.
Thank you.
Nice to have intelligent people on the programme, isn't it? How to encourage salmonella.
How to encourage salmonella.
32 seconds are left for you to talk on it, starting now.
Well, I would say, salmonella, pull yourself together. Come on, girl, you can do it. I believe in you, salmonella. There's nothing you can't do if you attempt it. The world's your oyster, salmonella. I am encouraging you to succeed, to win against Derek Nimmo and Peter Jones and Kenneth Williams, salmonella, because I believe in you. I've said that before.
And Derek Nimmo has challenged, yes.
Well, repetition.
Yes, there are 6 seconds left for how to encourage salmonella, Derek, starting now.
Oh, it was me. Oh, yes, salmonella. Well, I think one should encourage it, because sometimes when it begins to grow within...
So Derek Nimmo got a few points in that round. He's pulling up now. He's in third place, just ahead of Peter Jones. Kenneth in third, and Sheila Hancock still leading in a winning position. Kenneth Williams, your turn to begin, and the subject is a pisciforms. Can you tell us something about those in just a minute, starting now?
Pisciform simply means relating to the species of woodpecker birds. I don't see anything particularly interesting about that to this audience. I don't think they would give a damn about woodpeckers at all. I don't think they care.
Sheila Hancock, challenge.
Oh, fool that I am. Repetition of woodpeckers.
Yeah, there were two woodpeckers there.
Why would you talk about pisciforms?
So Sheila Hancock, who's 49 seconds left, is going to try talking on pisciform starting now.
Well, it's obviously derived from the Latin Pisces.
Formus,
meaning
not
a type of fish.
Doesn't mean that at all.
Kenneth is absolutely wrong. Woodpeckers don't enter into it. Has anybody challenged me?
She's wrong. It's nothing to do with Pisces. It does mean relating to woodpeckers.
You're perfectly right. Yes.
Thank you.
So you have the subject back.
Oh, thank
you. And there are 35 seconds on pisciforms, starting now.
One of the men who was, I suppose, the most authoritative expert on the subject said, what a wonderfully readable, wrinkable, feedable, follow my leadable, this habit breedable, oh yes, indeedable century this pisciform era has been. And what he meant was that the very pecking act itself, because don't forget, they are getting insects out of the bark in the process of doing this thing I've just discussed, or really, and don't want to say again, lest these dreadful people...
Peter Jones is challenged.
Musgovern 3, chica legaragio e umbrasli crackli.
I would agree with that, Peter. Wholeheartedly, yes. Very good impersonation as well. So, deviation.
Yes, deviation.
7 seconds, starting now.
These wretched woodpeckers live on insects, and they have to rattle them out of the bark of the tree, and...
I've just said all that. We don't want to hear it again.
These people are nodding off. He's so bored, he's dropped off. Look at him. Don't want to hear all this rubbish again. He doesn't know what to say. He's only doing his buzzing to try and score points. That's all he's doing.
Yes, I know, it's a strange thing. There wouldn't be a game if they didn't do that. Peter, an incorrect challenge, because you can repeat what someone else has said, but not what you said yourself. 2 seconds are left. Pisciform starting now.
Lacking an electric drill, the only thing it's got is a beak.
Well, now we have the situation that Peter Jones has pulled up into second place alongside Kenneth Williams, overtaking Derek Nimmo, but Sheila Hancock stood in the lead, and Sheila will begin the next round. And the subject is the greatest woman who ever lived. I'm sure you've got some ideas on that, Sheila. Can you talk about it in just a minute, starting now?
Well, this was a lady called Trudy Stevens, who weighed about 28 stone. When she was born, she was perfectly normal, but she ate an awful lot of food as life went on, maybe because she was a bit miserable or something, and gradually she put on weight until she became the greatest woman in the world. It had some disadvantages, inasmuch as she couldn't buy clothes to fit her, and it was difficult getting through the average doorway or sitting in a seat at a theatre, but somehow she managed, and eventually she went into a circus and became exhibited as the greatest woman in the world. And people paid good money to go and have a look at her, and I'm talking a load of rubbish.
Kenneth Williams is sporting the challenge, yes.
Yes, I thought she was rather running out of steam, so I tell her.
She was, she more than hesitated.
But I was so ashamed, because it's all lies.
But you did keep going with 49 seconds. Bad luck, Sheila. But Kenneth will now tell us something about the greatest woman who ever lived, starting now.
This unquestionably was Helen of Troy, who, as you know, caused a thousand...
Sheila Hancock, challenge.
It's deviation, because it's not unquestionable, is it?
In his mind, mind it is. You question it, but it's his mind, and it is not deviating from the subject on the card. So whether you can disagree, but he wasn't deviating. So 5 seconds left on the subject, Kenneth, starting now.
Sheba still turns her head for the sound of great Solomon. Judith is dressing the bed.
So Kenneth Williams got a number of points on that round, including the one for speaking as the whistle went, and he's only one behind our leader now, Sheila Hancock. Peter Jones, your turn to begin, and the subject is motorway food. Will you tell us something about that? It's got a reaction from the audience already. Starting now.
I don't think I'd be able to talk about it any more than I could eat it without repeating myself. I do think it's appalling, the stuff they serve up to people who are more or less a captive audience. They've no choice unless they drive off the motorway, which is a good idea, actually. There's no need to hurry. Go on a side road where you may find a friendly little pub or other restaurant, cafe, pull up
Derek
for Carmen.
Challenge.
He's now talking about food to be found on the highways and little side roads. He's not talking about motorway food.
Yeah, I don't think you gave him time. He'd only just gone off the motorway, just literally a few seconds before. If you'd gone on much longer on those byways and sideways, then I would have agreed with deviation. But no, Peter, you have the subject still, and there are 37 seconds, 38, starting now.
Whereas on the motorway itself, they are serving wet vegetables that have been grossly overcooked and ghastly hamburgers, which really bear no relation at all to the minced beef products that they should be, because they've got a lot of foreign matter, salmonella very often, I dare say, in them. And the chips have been hot for days at a time. I figure that they make them on a Monday and they're still serving them.
Deviation, they've been cold for days at a time.
I can't hear you, Derek, sorry.
I was just chip in.
Peter, I think you still have the subject, and there are 13 seconds left, starting now.
The sandwiches have to be seen to be believed. They are wrapped in cellophane, or some modern equivalent, and they, too, have been prepared at some distant spot, probably...
So, Peter Jones started with motorway food, and in spite of interruptions, finished with motorway food, but it did mean he got a number of points on the way. He's still in third place, but only one behind Kenneth Williams, who's only one behind Sheila Hancock, and it's Derek Nimmo's turn to begin. The subject is just desserts. Following the motorway food, rather apt. And there are 60 seconds for you to try and talk, and Derek, starting now.
I think probably of all the deserts that I've been to, the Karoo is the most interesting. As one goes...
Sheila Hancock Chubb.
No, it's not even spelt the same, is it? Deserts.
No, spelling has got nothing to do with it. It is pronunciation. And I did say just desserts and not just deserts. So Sheena Hancock's challenge was correct.
Just desserts, the same spelling, isn't it?
No, but it doesn't... It isn't the spelling. You don't say the Sahara Desert, do you? You say the Sahara Desert.
Yes, it's very sandy. A few dates with sand.
So it's not the writing or the spelling, it is the pronunciation. And Sheila, you have the subject with 53 seconds left. Just desserts, starting now.
Well, I am only really cooking...
Kenneth Williams.
Hesitation, I thought.
Yes, I think you're right.
Not cooking with gas.
Just desserts he was cooking there. There are 49 seconds left on just desserts, Kenneth, starting now.
Just desserts are seldom given to those who properly should incur them, those who say motorway food, talking rubbish since motorways never get hungry and wouldn't want to.
Sheila Hancock,
John. Repetition of motorway.
Yes, motorway, not the subject, it's just desserts the subject, and Sheila has it back, and there are 37 seconds, starting now.
Just desserts are the things that I cook best because I'm rather frightened of the main course, so I am inclined to make the odd trifle or fruit salad or meringue gâteau or glacé cake or ice cream blancmange.
Kenneth Williams has
spent about 5 hours.
You're
often rowing a boat.
This is a rotten game, right?
I nearly bought my own beer.
So we don't want 5 hours in just a minute, do we?
That's right.
So there are 17 seconds left for you to talk on just desserts, Kenneth, starting now.
They should come to those who transgress. And when Napoleon got his eye, read it in the history book, was delighted. The same with Adolf Hitler, the same with the...
And the same,
the same.
5 seconds.
Well, I won't have, you know.
Just dessert, Sheila. 5 seconds, starting now.
Jellies, lychees, peaches and cream, bananas...
Well, Sheila Hancock, cleverly going with just desserts, got her just desserts by increasing her lead at the end of the round. And Kenneth Williams, your turn to begin. The subject, map reading. Can you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
If you understand the signs, then it is all right. You will know what the contour shading stands for and understand as you approach.
Sheila Hancock.
Understand?
Yes, I'm afraid so, Kenneth. 47 seconds, map reading, Sheila. starting now.
I seem to do most of my map reading in the car with an irate husband driving, and I can never read without my glasses, which I seem to invariably have forgotten.
Derek Nimmo challenge.
Repetition of seeing.
Yes. Yes. Well done, Derek. 35 seconds on map reading, starting now.
I first learned to read maps when I was in the Wolf Cubs, and I got a badge to prove that I could read maps. And I found it the most interesting thing, and I've gone through life, I look through them like books, and I watch and see where the trees grow, where lakes are to be found, squares with a cross on top mean churches with a tower, circles mean something similar with a spire. And if you have good maps to...
Peter Jones.
Well, I have to, against my better judgment, perhaps, interrupt, because he did repeat mean, you see. But then I wouldn't normally have objected to that, but he had it previously objected to Sheila saying seem twice.
So why although
it's a very
preamble?
Small word. Well, because it seems rather fiddling.
You put the absolute mockers on the whole show now. They've got it dead as anything.
I don't think you ought to bring religion into it.
Peter, you challenge for repetition, and I agree, and there are 13 seconds for you to talk on map reading, starting now.
Yes, in the car, that's the usual place that people indulge in this, and believe me, it can break up practically any partnership if you do it for any length of time and you don't know where you're going. Whoever is driving...
So that loud whistle then by Ian Messiter tells us that not only is the end of the round, but also the end of the contest. So to give you the final score, Derek Nimmo, who has triumphed more than once in this game, came this time only in fourth place, but that's the luck of the draw. Peter Jones, who's also triumphed, came in third place. Kenneth, who occasionally triumphs, came in second place. And Sheila Hancock, who only plays the game very occasionally, has once again completely triumphed and is our winner this week. So when we think back to what she had to say about winning earlier on, we realise how apt it was. We congratulate her. Lovely to have her on the programme. Lovely to have the boys sometimes too. And lovely to have the audience in the studio. But most of all, it's lovely to have the people who tune in and listen to Just a Minute. And we hope that you'll want to do it again at the same time next week when once again we take the air and we play this game. Until then, from all of us here, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The programme was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by David Hatch.